Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Welcome, everybody, to the last day of 2024 for you New York football fans out there. I'm sure this day could not have come soon enough. We've almost reached the end. Hang in there. About 20-something more hours, and we can all say that this horrid year is over. Ryan Chichester with you on The Fan. I've got you till 6 o'clock. Rami's on the other side taking your calls. And the number two call, if you want to get in on the conversation, is 888-808-1019. I'm the fan here in New York City, where it's been a miserable, miserable year for the football teams here in this town. It sounds like a broken record. We've said that a lot in recent years, but the new year always brings that sense of hope and new opportunity, and you know, maybe fortunes can finally change. It's been over a decade of just miserable football here in the biggest sports market in the world. It just doesn't make sense that it could be this bad. And heading into Sunday's game against the Colts, you felt like all the Giants need is just to quote unquote take care of business, lose this game, keep control of the number one overall pick, and they fumble it. They win the game, Drew Lock goes off, and the Giants may have just set themselves back years again. Finally in position to maybe get the top quarterback, the number one overall pick, to have their choice of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, whoever it is they covet at the most pivotal position on the field, the one that they have not been able to get right since the prime years of Eli Manning. And now who knows how far back this organization's just been set. It's not over. There's still a chance to get a top quarterback in the draft. But you win this meaningless game, you drop back from 1 to 4 in the draft. That's not a small drop. And guess what? It could get even worse. Is anyone sold that Saquon Barkley or any of the Eagles starters are going to play on Sunday? Because listening to Saquon Barkley talk after the Eagles last game, I wouldn't be stunned at all if he sits. I think he's on much more of a mission to win a Super Bowl than he is to set the single-season rushing record. He's 101 yards away. He's not, you know, 55 yards away, something that he made up in 5 rushes on Sunday for the Eagles. You know, that's almost a full workload, a full day's work. He might not want to do that, and the Eagles might have all their backups in, and guess what? Brian Daboll isn't playing to lose. The players on the field aren't playing to lose, nor should they be. This isn't about the players. You know, front offices, executives, they tank. Players don't. The teams put whatever players on the field they feel will give them the best chance to win or lose, depending on the motivation. And then those players, well, they give it their all. You saw Malik Nabers out there on Sunday. So they're not at fault. But this loss just set the Giants back, and it could get even worse. Imagine they win that game on Sunday against the Eagles B squad. Imagine the Jets. What if they beat the Dolphins? What if they don't? Even if the Giants win, they could fall behind the Jets because of the strength of schedule. So the Giants could fall even further back into this draft, and it could just become a bigger and bigger disaster when it was right there for the taking. Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, I don't care how they looked in their last bowl game. That doesn't represent the full body of work that they put in during their collegiate careers. You know the Giants would have wanted one of those two quarterbacks. And guess what? They probably still will want them, even if they don't end up with a top pick and aren't in position to draft one of them. And that spells even more trouble because Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, they're desperate. They're desperate to get that young quarterback in that room. They're desperate to finally get their guy to draft and develop that they've been hoping for and that we've been talking about since these two got here. When will they get their chance to get their hands on a young quarterback and do with him what they were able to do with Josh Allen in Buffalo, who's now looking like he's on his way to potentially winning an MVP? So let's say the Giants don't secure a top draft pick. Now you're looking at a position where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll might want to move up to make sure they get one of those quarterbacks, and now you're sacrificing other valuable draft capital to address other roster needs, and the Giants have a lot of them. Offensive line, wide receivers behind Malik Nabers, defensively, on the defensive line, the secondary, there's roster needs all over this team, which isn't surprising for a 3-13 squad, but again, they're 3-13. What did that win do? I was listening to The Fan all day today and just hearing counterpoints from fans of how at least we got to celebrate this win. It's been so long since we got to celebrate a win. It had been 10 losses in a row, blah, blah, blah. But who cares? Any excitement or euphoria over that win was gone in a matter of hours. And now you're just left with the realization of, oh, my team might be screwed again. So was it really worth it? Is that a worthwhile trade-off to go from 2-13 to 3-13 and fall three draft spots as a result? I know no draft pick is a sure thing, but you want to eliminate as much of that potential parity as you possibly can by drafting as high as you possibly can, especially in a season that's been lost since October. So this win that some fans seem to think was necessary, was good for morale, was good for the fans to finally celebrate a victory and not be that team that loses 9 home games in a season. Was it really worth it? When it could have significantly changed the trajectory of the franchise? Because I look at the big picture, not, you know, as a fan, it's hard. It's a moral conundrum, if you will, sitting on your couch on Sunday, watching your team compete, and all of a sudden you realize it's a close game in the fourth quarter, and your fandom starts to take over, and you find yourself rooting for that next touchdown, rooting for the lead, rooting to win, and then realizing, oh no, wait, this will be bad for the franchise in the grand scheme of things. I might have a win to celebrate today, but that just means I might be dealing with a lot more losing in the years to come. So it's all about the big picture, and when it comes to the big picture of the Giants, it doesn't look as pretty here as we get ready to close 2024, which is saying something considering how terrible 2024 has been. It's been a brutal year, and that number one pick, it offered that sense of hope. That sense of promise, that sense of getting what this team has coveted for years now. I mean, how many days have we talked on this radio station about the Giants needing a quarterback and moving on from Daniel Jones and getting more looks at Tommy DeVito because maybe he can be, you know, that diamond in the rough, that next Tom Brady that comes out of nowhere. And obviously he's not that. So, and then it became getting that number one draft pick. And now that has slipped away. And there's a chance to get it back, but guess what? There's also a chance to fall even further back. It is not crazy to say that the Giants could beat the Eagles B squad on Sunday when Philly has nothing to play for. And I'm sorry, I'm still not buying Saquon Barkley starting and going for the record on Sunday. I heard his post-game comments. I could easily see him prioritizing staying healthy, staying rested, and going for a Super Bowl, something he never came close to with the Giants. So I know there's also a lot of hype leading into this game of Saquon Barkley coming back, facing his old team, potentially breaking a coveted record held by Eric Dickerson. I don't know if I'm buying it. For as much as Giants fans criticize Saquon Barkley now for going to the hated enemy, he was also always lauded for saying all the right things and doing all the right things on the field and prioritizing winning and talking about the team, what's best for the team. That's even been the case, you know, this season with the Eagles when he was pushing for the young guys to go into a game during a blowout instead of padding his own stats. Like he's always been about the team. And him starting on Sunday, that might not be what's best for the team. Because they need him to be healthy and that dynamic playmaker that he's been all season for them. So you take him out along with the rest of the Eagles starters, and the Giants have a chance to win that game. And then all of a sudden, that puts them at 4 wins, where approximately 6 other teams currently sit. And I've got bad news. In terms of the strength of schedule, which serves as a tiebreaker, the Giants have one of the highest percentages in the top 12 right now, as I sit here looking at Tankathon. The only team with a higher strength of schedule percentage in the top 10 is the Bears at number 9. So things could get really, really dicey for the Giants, and it's all become complicated and muddied and murky because they won that game. And then looking at an even bigger picture when it comes to the future of this head coach and this general manager, because they lost this grip on the number 1 overall pick, you could see them get into desperation mode where they might overpay. They might get a little too aggressive to try to move up in the draft and get one of these 2 top quarterbacks because they know the clock is ticking and that they could be at the end of the road in their tenures in New York, and they want to get that young quarterback in the room. They want to show John Mara, okay, we got this young quarterback that we've been talking about for years. We're going to develop him. We're going to add around him and just give us a couple more years. And you'll start seeing some results. That doesn't sound like a very enticing scenario for me. I'm ready to move on from Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I think Joe Shane has fumbled the vast majority of his key draft picks so far since taking over as GM of the Giants. This past draft has been an exception, but overall, he's fumbled the bag on a lot of these picks. And for Brian Daboll, who's got a team at 3-13 after a disastrous 6-win season last year, which ended with him feuding with his defensive coordinator and Wink Martindale bolting for Michigan, you hear, oh, well, this was good for Brian Daboll because the players rallied around him. Who cares? They rallied around him last year, too, and actually won some games down the stretch, winning a few in a row with Tommy DeVito. What did that do heading into this season? It's been even worse. I'm supposed to care about one win against the Colts and say, oh, well, this is, you know, a gold star for Brian Daboll because his players didn't quit on him. They're still 3-13, which again goes back to the point that this win doesn't accomplish anything. In fact, it just hurts the team. So I get it's hard when you bring the fandom aspect into it because football games are precious and they're only once a week and there's only 17 of them a season. It's not like, you know, basketball and looking back on those lean years as a Knicks fan, rooting for losses for those ping pong balls to get a Zion Williamson or whoever it was. You know, football can be different because those games are precious and they're not as frequent. But neither is having the chance to draft number 1 overall. And the Giants had a chance to do that, and you know, maybe they still have a slim chance to. But now they also have a chance to fall almost to the, you know, the fringes of the top 10. And then what do? Then you have to give up even more to move up and get that quarterback. So what's been a terrible season for New York football and a terrible calendar year overall, and we haven't even gotten to the Jets yet and Aaron Rodgers, and we'll get to it all here tonight. I'm with you until 6 a.m., 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. It's been a terrible year, and you had that number one pick to just hold on to and take into 2025 and say, you know, here is my evidence that I'm going to cling to, that there is potentially a bright future ahead for the Giants and this once proud franchise that is enduring maybe its worst and most embarrassing season in franchise history and what is the 100th year in their franchise history. Maybe things are finally going to get better because we're finally going to be able to address that one most important position that we haven't been able to for years now. And that just got a whole lot more complicated because of one meaningless win against the Colts. Congratulations, the Giants won a home game this year. Congratulations, Brian Daboll rallied the troops and got them to play hard and make plays down the stretch of this game when the Colts kept battling back. Great. What does it accomplish? Does it really change your evaluation of Brian Daboll over the last two seasons? Does it really change your evaluation of Joe Shane and the draft picks he's made and the moves he's made? For me, it's just not worth it. And for me, it's a win that could have just set the team back in ways we won't even be able to know until next Sunday is over. And we look at the final draft board results. What I do know is that after the Giants game, I watched Jaden Daniels ball out for the Commanders and clinch a playoff spot, and I guarantee you, nobody within that fan base or organization is mad that the Commanders lost 8 in a row to end last season and didn't have any moral victories or any, you know, reprieves from losing for a win that would have been hollow anyway. They lost out, they got the number 2 pick, they drafted Jaden Daniels, and now they look like they're set for years to come. And the Giants had a chance to do that, and they blew it. And again, not in terms of the players, because the players go out there on the field and they play to win. You don't want players out there actively trying to lose. But just the Giants as a whole, big picture, have wasted a golden opportunity. And guess what? Because of that, it could get even worse now when you look ahead to week 18 and what will be a merciful end to this miserable season. Wouldn't it be fitting? Wouldn't it be fitting to see the Giants beat the Eagles' backups and fall even further down the draft order, and suddenly you realize, wow, so now I just sat through another terrible, meaningless season that ended weeks after it began, and it was for nothing. And now I'm potentially picking even further back than I was last year when I drafted Malik Nabers. So it is indeed dark times here in New York football in what was the 2024 year. But we're here until 6 a.m. We've got plenty of other sports news to talk about. We can talk about the Jets if you want to keep going down the misery route, and Aaron Rodgers, their head coaching search, Ron Rivera, Rex Ryan, part of the head coaching search. We can talk about MLB offseason hot stove. We've got Pete Alonso still out there for the taking. We've got the Yankees looking at potentially filling their third base hole. There's plenty to talk about. We'll get to it all here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We'll be right back.